After a 24-hour sitting of the Victorian Upper House, voluntary assisted dying legislation looks set to become a reality, with the Legislative Council passing the bill 22-18. The Wire's Rachel McDonald has the report.
Elizabeth Short's husband Peter died at the end of 2017 from esophageal cancer and spent the last months of his life campaigning for the changes proposed in the Victorian bill.
He was given 3 to 9 months approximately to live. His lungs were going to slowly deteriorate and he would have to be on oxygen, and then he would, as one doctor described it, die of slow suffocation.
Shortly after diagnosis, Peter read about Dr. Rodney Syme, who had given the euthanasia drug Nembutal to a terminally ill patient.
So he contacted Dr. Syme and they had discussions, and Peter became very interested in the concept of dying with dignity. Rodney supplied him with the drug Nembutal, which in itself is an illegal act, but Rodney was virtually saying, I am handing out this drug to people who I have consulted with, who I know are terminal, who I know are facing intolerable suffering, both mentally and physically, and if you want to come and arrest me, come and do it. And he, as he put it, sort of came up over the trenches to say the way we're operating now is wrong and the lawmakers have to change things.
In the end, Peter's plans for his end of life changed as his health deteriorated further.
On Boxing Day morning 2014, he was very unwell. We couldn't control his symptoms at home, and he agreed to enter palliative care just long enough to sort of get him comfortable again and stable again and get his meds sorted, and then we agreed that he would come home and then he would take his own life because he'd always wanted to die at home. When we got to palliative care and he did get settled and they did make him comfortable, we were only there probably for an hour, and he said to me, I've changed my mind, I think I'll stay. That was the 26th of December, and Peter died on the 29th of December. But the very important thing, I think, to remember in this whole, or in Peter's story particularly, was he didn't choose to take the Nembutal, but the fact that he had the choice was the thing that made the difference to his life.
Elizabeth is pleased about the Victorian legislation passing through the Upper House, despite its conservative approach.
It's a very, very rigid set of circumstances, and they've taken the qualification of 12 months left to live down to 6 months, which I personally think is ludicrous, because no doctor would stand up and say you'll be dead 6 months from now with a cancer diagnosis, because they just don't know. They speak from statistics, but it's only a best guess. They have to have been residents of Victoria for at least 12 months. There's quite a few hoops they have to go through. They have to make the request. You know, I think it has to be made again in front of two doctors and a psychiatrist. It has to be put in writing, and then 10 days later it has to be made again, and then they will be delivered the medication.
Elizabeth says the legislation could have gone further.
We, as a compassionate and caring society, need to realise that it's not just people with terminal cancer that suffer shocking, lingering and unnecessary deaths. But it's a great first step.
Elizabeth Short, advocate for voluntary assisted dying. Dr. Rodney Syme is the Vice President for Dying with Dignity Victoria. I spoke to him about why he chose to help people like Peter Short and how he feels about the bill.
I've been thinking about this from an ethical and emotional point of view for 43 years and been a public advocate for this change for 25 years. So it was a particularly poignant moment for me when the bill passed the Upper House.
Why do you believe voluntary assisted dying is so necessary in Australia?
Because there's absolutely no logic to people who have got severe and intolerable suffering being forced to go on to end their lives in what might be euphemistically called a natural death if that is not what they want. For me as a doctor, if a person is in that circumstance and says, I can't stand this any longer, what can you do to help me? Since I respect their autonomy, I believe that they should have a right to make decisions about their own life and death, then I feel compelled to provide them with assistance if that's possible. What this bill will allow is for doctors to start to have those sort of discussions. In the past, doctors have been inhibited from talking openly about death and dying because they really were restricted in what they could potentially offer. Now they will be able to engage in discussion with their patients. Very often that's all that's necessary. Once a patient knows that they have got the right under the law to make a request, they are enormously assisted psychologically. actually by that possibility.
What would you say to those who oppose the bill and are concerned vulnerable members of society could be threatened?
Well, I think that's absolute nonsense. The bill specifically states that it's imperative on the doctor to ensure that the patient is not under duress and ensure that the patient is of sound mind. Believe me, it's very, very easy to detect if somebody else is putting a person under pressure to take an action to end their life. There have been very, very serious surveys carried out in other countries, particularly very thoroughly in Canada, which found that this idea had no basis in fact whatsoever.